Actor Paul Walker was known around the world for his Fast and the Furious movies. His lengthy career, which started at 2 years old, was cut short on November 30th, 2013, when he was killed in a high-speed, fiery auto wreck on the way to a charity with a friend. Conflicting reports pose the question, was there someone else involved? This week on Death and Entertainment.
Live from Los Angeles.
911, what is your emergency?
Here in Hollywood now.
Two counts of murder,
injury, and death.
Oh my God!
Shocking new details
that has stunned the entertainment world.
This makes me a little nervous.
The hair stood up on my arms.
Just like in the movies.
What do you call this thing anyway?
Death in entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good morning.
Salutations.
Yeah.
Guten Morgen.
Yeah.
Episode 33. We're getting into the death of Fast and the Franchise. Fast
oh
and the
my
Furious.
God. It's a little early in the podcast for that, Kyle.
Fast and the Furious franchise star, Paul Walker. My name is Kyle Plouffe.
My name is Mark Mulcairn.
I'm Alejandro Dowling.
And we are fresh off the heels of the Marilyn Monroe episode, which got a lot of good feedback. A lot of people didn't know, like myself, that she was so connected to Bobby Kennedy, which...
I didn't know that myself. Yeah. I knew she was kind of plugged in with the Kennedys and getting plugged by them.
Hello.
You know what I mean?
We get the idea.
she wasn't singing happy birthday to Bobby, so people just assumed.
I know.
Yeah. JFK was the one.
Yeah, he's the dude at the party that, you know, waits... to the girl gets really drunk and he sneaks in like a creep. That's RFK for you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kennedy Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as strong a Kennedy
the
as
lesser
his brother,
Kennedy.
Jack.
Well, the real, like the Kennedy heavy, you know, it would be like the major Budweiser, the red one. Joe was, his older brother Joe was like the one that was supposed to be president and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was the main, he was the junior, the second to the paterfamilias, if you will, Joe Sr. And he died in World War II in a fiery.
Wow.
That word always fucks
Inferno.
Inferno. Yeah. A blazing inferno.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So he would have changed
banged
history.
Maryland too.
that too.
At the minimum, he would have been the Fredo of the family. Who the fuck knows, man? History's a wild
or
thing.
Or Bobby would have been downgraded, probably.
Yeah.
And Jack would have been the Bobby.
Yeah, maybe Bobby would have been the one on Chappaquiddick, you know, driving off the fucking bridge.
And Ted?
Yeah, Ted, I don't know. He would have been working at a Burger King. Who the fuck knows?
You can also tell where they rank by what directors made their movies.
Ah, that's interesting.
JFK got Oliver Stone.
Yep.
Academy Award winning director.
Sure.
Bobby got Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. That is the Emilio Estevez.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my
true.
God.
True, yeah. There was an RFK movie which sucked.
It was called Bobby.
Yeah, it was with like Demi Moore and like
who's who?
Elijah Wood.
Really long, big cast.
When they announced this cast, I was like, "Who are these hacks in this RFK movie?"
I mean, I guess it makes sense because Emilio Estevez is like the RFK of the Sheen family,
so
it's very on brand.
But Charlie Sheen is also the Emilio Estevez of people in general.
I am Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
I am winning.
Well, actually, Martin Sheen did play JFK one time, so there is a connection there.
When?
I think it was 13 days or no, there was a movie done in like the 80s or something.
You're thinking of The West Wing.
There's a Kennedy miniseries.
Yes.
Martin Sheen as President John F. Kennedy.
Okay. I am on chain. Yeah, I guess his accent is over the top absurd.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like it was in The Departed, too.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a cop, okay?
You know, fucking cop.
Yeah. He got Marky Mark Wahlberg's line sometimes. Anywho, what's going on this week? We are doing a podcast on
our
main subject.
You don't say.
Is actor Paul Walker, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
This is a big one. This is a big one.
Some have compared him to James Dean.
Really?
Not me.
Interesting.
Different people.
Because yeah. they were good looking guys. Actors,
James Dean had way more class.
Cut off in their prime, you know, yeah. in a car wreck. That
Who
sort
knows?
Of thing.
Maybe James Dean, if he was born at that the same time, he would have been in the Fast and the Furious.
You're right, though. There really isn't much of a comparison because we're talking East of Eden, Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus Meet the Deedles.
Yes. We're going to talk about Meet the Deedles.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I forgot about Meet the Deedles.
Oh, this my is God. Well,
crazy.
He grew up in like the Hollywood system. So, well, anyway, since we're talking about, we'll get right into it.
Yes. And this episode is taking us all the way back to November 30th, 2013.
So, guys, what was going on around this time, pop culture-wise?
In the wild world of entertainment, we have a number of books here. John Grisham wrote Sycamore Row.
Sycamore Row.
A lesser Grissom, I feel like. This is the Emilia Estevez of John Grisham books.
Yeah.
John Grisham, he returns to the iconic setting of his first novel, A Time to Kill, as Matthew McConaughey's character, Jake Bregranci. Finds himself
Brigance.
In Brigance.
I thought you were saying in flagrante.
Borneo.
Yeah, Jake in flagrante.
He finds himself embroiled in a controversial trial that exposes a tortured history of racial tension, which sounds like A Time to Kill.
I hope they burn in hell.
A Time to Kill light.
John Grisham didn't even make a sequel here. He just remade A Time to Kill.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I would do if I was one of these writers. You know, if you get like, you know, your big hits, just be like, all right, I'm done. I don't need to do this anymore. So I'm going to, you know, keep churning them out.
I heard he doesn't even write the books anymore.
That's what I heard about Stephen King.
He has a team.
They say about yes. Stephen King also. Yeah. So that
I
was the only book?
One.
That was one through five of the book.
Yeah. Malcolm Gladwell wrote David and Goliath.
I hate this guy, Gladwell.
Yeah, I just hate the look of him.
Yeah, he looks like a prick.
Let's kick his ass.
Have you put your 10,000 hours in?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm gonna put 10,000 hours of kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. Too bad we don't have that clip on the board.
And honestly, some things just require 2 hours.
I know. Yeah. Fuck that guy. He's bullshit. He's full of shit.
Yeah. This book is about exploring the power of the underdog, a dazzling examination of success, motivation, and the role of adversity in shaping our lives.
You realize it's just him like explaining why he like sucked when he was younger and he's better now.
Yeah.
All these books, you know, self-help is just about that person. And
yeah,
it
exactly.
only works for them.
But you got to root for the underdog.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put in the 10,000 hours and then you got to meet my agent.
Yeah, and buy my fucking book.
Yeah.
Two, if you can. So I can get a Martha's Vineyard house. Another one.
The last best-selling book here on the list is Mike Tyson's The Undisputed Truth. Or, as he would say it, the undisputed truth.
Did he have any help writing that book?
He definitely did. Yeah. It's Mike Tyson and some other guy.
He's just behind the guy writing, like, how's the book coming?
This actually,
what am I saying?
I actually want to buy this book now. The little excerpt here says, he used to pass drug tests by using a fake penis, and he once kicked his former promoter, Don King, in the head.
That's awesome.
Send it.
Is that why his hair looks like that?
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to kick Don King in the head.
Yeah.
You can't miss.
Can't miss.
Got a big ass head.
But yeah, he would attach a fake penis.
That's
go
awesome.
In and it would be filled with urine.
I've never failed a drug test. I've smoked like tons of weed as a kid and stuff and never like I had to take one when I was a mail carrier for a while.
Casual
carrier. Good memory on Kyle here. Check out the big brain on Kyle.
Yeah, it's just Limp Bizkit lyrics and your work history up in my head.
The necessities of common knowledge.
Yeah, Kyle put 10,000 hours into listening to your story.
Yeah, exactly.
At least someone is.
On TV, right around Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving, 11/28/2013, Nielsen estimates that 46.7 million viewers watched all or some of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, hosted by disgraced news anchor Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Savannah Guthrie and Al Roker of NBC's Today, making it the top Parade rating in the 18 to 49 year old demographic. Top Parade rating in the last 9 years for that demographic.
Wow. Which, say what you will about Matt Lauer.
Say what you will about Parade ratings, but...
yeah.
He was good at what he did. He was good
locking
at...
locking women in his room.
Yeah. Gonna say that.
Well, those older women, those blue hairs loved him, you know.
Yeah.
He was good at pushing the door lock button from his desk.
Oh, is that not opening? Whoops.
Yeah.
And he had a trap door button for the ugly women.
What a sick...
Then they got stuck in it.
Yeah.
Plunger them down.
Like that SNL sketch. Yeah. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, do you remember that?
No, what
there
happened?
There was a fake commercial. I think it was in the Phil Hartman years where it was a company that built trap doors for offices.
Oh, really? No.
And then they're like, are you having trouble with your trap door? And there was like a montage of exactly what Kyle described, like people getting stuck and not going well, off. They're shooting them upward instead of downward.
Yeah.
And then it ends with the executive pushing the button and the person perfectly falls through the trap
door. Maybe they knew that's hilarious. At NBC, because that was in 30 Rock where they were doing all that stuff too.
Oh,
and
wow.
Also, I remember in Austin Powers where Will Ferrell, he gets sent through the trap door by Dr. Evil, and then he's like, I'm not dead. I'm just really hurt down here. Please come get me.
My wounds smell like almonds.
Yeah. And they just keep playing the bit over and over. And he goes, will someone please kill him?
Yeah. You hear a gunshot finally, and then they wait like another 10 seconds. Okay.
And then he still yells after that.
I'm just wounded now. I'm bleeding very badly.
Oh, and he's like, you shot me in the leg.
Yeah. That same day, 11/28/13, NBC's coverage of the National Dog Show presented by Purina averaged 10.7 million viewers.
Is that the Westminster Dog Show?
Yeah, I believe so.
10 million people are watching that?
Oh, we always watch it in my family. Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The Puppy Bowl, everything.
You've never heard of football?
Nope.
As I always say, whatever blows your hair back.
Yeah.
Yes. As long as it's not that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's an asterisk next to that. As long as it's not what Kyle's family does.
Yes.
It is entertaining, though. I'm only saying that based on one of my favorite
best
comedies.
In show?
Yeah, best in show. Yeah.
So good. The most watched regular season game of the NFL in 2013 was the Raiders-Cowboys on Thanksgiving, which earned 31.7 million viewers.
Damn.
The game began with the Oakland Raiders returning a fumble for a touchdown on the opening kickoff. The Cowboys overcame this setback to win 31-24.
There you go. A nice, solid American football game.
America's
no
team.
No dogs. Yeah. No Matt Lauer.
No Puppy Bowl
creeps.
Or anything. Yeah. No Al Roker.
Colin Kaepernick was still in the league.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he was. I think he was in the Super Bowl that year.
The previous season, he was in the Super Bowl.
Yes, but it was in 2013, February 3rd, 2013.
Correct.
Yes.
And we're in real-time fact-checking here.
Boom.
That's what we do on this podcast.
And you know what we're going to do now?
What's that?
We're going to race over to the Paul Walker story.
Okay, well, Paul Walker was born in Glendale, California, September 12th, 1973.
Whoop, whoop. Glendale.
Two towns over.
Yeah.
That's where I first lived in L.A., Glendale.
Me too, really? Actually.
Really?
Yeah. I lived in a living room in Glendale.
That sounds really
awful. Oh, I didn't know
for
that.
For like a month.
I thought you just went straight to that place down near where Marilyn Monroe was from.
Then I moved there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You wanted to be near the Beach Boys and Marilyn Monroe houses.
You had to get down there. Yeah, Glendale, that's where my first P.O. box was. I did have I don't know why.
P.O. box?
I was staying in some fucking dump somewhere.
Were you in witness protection?
No.
You were living in a van?
No, I was living in like some housing place that had small little rooms off of it. in Atwater Village, like over. Do you guys know where that is?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's near like the Glendale line and stuff. Exactly. So I had to get a P.O. box in order to get mail and stuff.
Sounds like a homeless shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. It does sound like that, but it wasn't.
It sounds like the Nut House.
Yeah. Yeah. I drove 3,000 miles from Boston to go to a Nut House here.
Yeah. I heard you got good Nut Houses out here.
Yeah. They're known for their Nut Houses.
Guy just pulls his balls out of his door.
Literally Nut Houses. Like testicles.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it?
Kyle was implying there.
Mark is like, this is my lucky day.
Yeah.
Guy popped him out of his mail slot. That's why Mark had to get a P.O. box.
Yeah.
You suck on this P.O. box.
Too many men's testicles in my mailbox. I had to get a P.O. box.
Don't you hate it when... Yeah.
And I was P.O.'d about that box.
Hello.
So Paul Walker went to Village Christian School in Sun Valley, California.
Just a few miles away from Dipod Studios.
Yeah, we're not too far from where all the Paul Walker stuff went on, basically.
Yeah.
He lived up in Santa Barbara later, but he grew up around kind of this area. His mom was a fashion model. His dad was a sewer contractor and former amateur boxer who was a 2-time Golden Gloves champion.
Wow.
Yeah, so his parents were both like, you know, Jacks and Jills of all trades. They kind of just probably came out here with a dream and, you know,
yeah,
the acting didn't work out, so they thrust all that onto their son.
Yeah, I was kind of confused when you said his mom was a fashion model. I kind of buried the lead because you said he was a sewer contractor. And I'm like, what is a fashion model doing with a sewer contractor?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
He beat the shit out of people, and she very much enjoyed
that. Yeah, she probably loved that. That's probably what got her going, if you know what I mean.
And when the boxing ended, he was so disgruntled. He's like, ah, fuck, I'm going to go into the sewage. Put me straight.
Yeah, they send you right to the
throw
sewer.
Throw me in. Where can I buy the big truck?
I want to go work in the shitter after getting my ass kicked my entire life.
Yeah, this town stinks. Yeah.
Well, there was boxing was in the family, actually, as is was acting later on in the family. Paul Walker's paternal grandfather, William, had a short-lived boxing career as Irish Billy Walker, while another grandfather raced factory cars for Ford in the 1960s.
Wow.
He always had this kind of edgy stuff in his family and stuff. Racing cars, boxing, you know, getting your ass kicked on screen.
Sewage swimming.
Yeah. He was raised a Latter-day Saint, which I don't even know what that...
Mormon.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It's basically a nicer way to say Mormon.
Yeah.
It's a synonym for Mormon.
Yeah.
Those commercials were on all the time in the 90s, and I didn't know until
the
like
Church of
somewhat recently
those.
That it's Mormonism.
Why were they trying to flip us in Massachusetts?
Seriously. Yeah. It was every commercial break there was
maybe
a Latter-day
Saints.
Maybe
Catholics are like an easy like turn. Yeah. For Mormonism, I guess.
You can fuck more wives here.
Yeah, yeah. Come on down to Utah.
That should have been the commercial.
They had Ernie Bach or some local... some local car dealership guy. Come on down to Utah and have sex with 15 women who are also your wives legally.
Come on down to the auto mile. Yeah. And those fucking Mormons... Quit beating around the bush. Stop calling yourself Latter-day Saints.
I know.
And lead with you can marry multiple wives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you word that into the religion. Multiple wife religion or ism? Yeah. Okay.
They've been doing it for a few years. Yeah. So
Paul Walker had four younger siblings, Amy, Ashley, Caleb, and Cody. He spent the majority of his early life in Sutherland neighborhood of Los Angeles, and he graduated from that Village Christian School in 1991. Walker subsequently attended several community colleges in Southern California, majoring in marine biology. He always had a love of marine biology. He was like George Costanza from Seinfeld. He could never pull it off, though. He just went straight into acting.
And a fascination with the ocean.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he liked traveling a lot, which we'll get into later. He started acting, however, at the age of 2, doing commercials for Pampers.
Was it his choice?
Yeah, he was a method actor. Yeah, he went to Stella Adler at 2 and started booking commercials.
I love his family.
They got to put him to work.
They're boxing. You know? They're in the sewage industry. They put their baby to work.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how they used to do it. I think more parents these days are like, you know, I'm going to let my kid decide if they want to be an actor. The Walker family, like, you're an actor. Pampers commercial Tuesday. Who gives a fuck?
I'm going to let my baby decide if it wants to be a method Pampers actor.
He loves Goodfellas. Are you gooing at me? He continued acting in commercials while growing up, and most notably, he became the face of a chain called Showbiz Pizza, which I've never heard of.
It's very close to like Chuck E. Cheese.
Really?
They had the animatronics on stage and stuff, yeah.
Oh, I bet you it's way creepier somehow than Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
It's still around?
Do you have a clip of it?
Yeah, I want to see a little more of this.
There's probably a vintage commercial out there.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
It's terrifying.
Oh, my God. Well, something
it's
like
way
this
scarier.
Is something like this is going to come up later, but I love that. Do you have, check videos on Google.
There's a video game called, it's on Oculus called Five Nights at Freddy's, and it's based on this. Like, if you were doing security at, like, Showbiz Pizza
this is
or,
crazy.
Like, Chuck E. Cheese overnight, and they animatronics come to life and kill you.
Do you know why this is crazy? Because Nicolas Cage did a movie called that same thing.
Yeah, it was Willy's Wonderland
It is crazy.
I heard about it. I still haven't seen it. I play Five Nights at Freddy's all the time. It's actually terrifying.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the movie's so weird because Nicolas Cage doesn't even say, he has no lines. He just doesn't say anything
really?
The entire fucking movie. Yeah, he plays like someone who's hired in order to kill all the animatronic monsters or something. It's very confusing.
I haven't seen that one yet either.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm a little backed up actually with the Nick Cage movies have to see.
What's this?
This is Showbiz Pizza Showtime.
For the audience, imagine the Country Bears at Disneyland, except with 1% of the budget.
Yeah,
I guess Paul Walker's a kid. He had to watch 10,000 hours of this before he was ready to act in the commercials.
Wow,
it's pretty terrifying.
Okay, yeah, that's the summarization of that is terrifying and disturbing for any kid to be involved in.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was that weird. He also followed his mom's footsteps at a bunch of modeling. So he was doing anything and everything to kind of, you know, chip in for the household, I guess. In the 80s, he did a ton of guest roles on Who's the Boss, Charles in Charge, two shows I actually loved growing up. And then he got like an ongoing role on The Young and the Restless, where he played a guy named Brendan Collins. He always plays Irish guys. Like in
Brendan Collins.
Ah, Mr. Brendan Collins, we can't have you. He was actually nominated for an Outstanding Lead Actor and Actress Award in a soap opera. Wait, what is this award? Soap opera at the Youth and Film Awards, whatever that means.
Sounds prestigious.
but it also doesn't. Kyle, do you have that link starting at 2:35?
I do.
This is a piece of his... a nugget of his acting in this this
what is it?
Show.
We just have a few problems.
More than a few, I'd say. Come on, Victoria, quit doing this to yourself.
You can smell the award.
You're too young
to
be going through all this pain. Just get out of it while you still
taste
can.
It.
Victoria, will you please?
He's still talking, Victoria.
I felt nothing that.
Well, he was only nominated for the award. He didn't win.
Oh, wow.
So just an FYI on that. But, you know, he made a go of it. You know, paid his dues. Well, this show I want to bring up that he was in with Stephen Dorff, in which Stephen Dorff was the lead in. The premise of the show is basically about a family in New Jersey who gets mailed a ventriloquist dummy named Buzz.
Okay.
this is
a spinoff of Elf or something.
This is when the days when you could spit on a piece of paper and sell it as a pilot to a major
like
network.
Elf.
Like Elf is actually a good show.
No, I know, Elf. But it's a kind of a crazy premise.
I think it's like inspired by Elf, maybe. Okay. But this is just so much creepier somehow than Elf.
Yeah, it's
at start of 14:15.
It's like Showbiz Pizza the show.
Yeah, it more or less is.
If you like Showbiz Pizza.
You know, Corey, why don't you tell Joanna what you know about the Firebird?
Oh, well, it has dual carbs, fuel injection, and has your choice of vinyl or velour seatings.
She's talking about a ballet, not a car, you yutz.
Oh, what a sense of humor.
There's a weird doll just sitting on the couch saying lines.
Yeah.
Don't go yet. You know, I've got a great idea. why don't you come over here first and let Corey make you dinner? He's a gourmet cook.
What?
Didn't he tell you? Oh, French cuisine is his specialty.
I didn't know that.
I saw him make a cheese sandwich once.
No. But can they hear that? I don't know if the other people can hear it.
No, that's just...
But it's kind of like... I think this is my crazy theory. I can ask people. But I think that's what inspired Stewie on Family Guy. Because no one else can hear the weird ventriloquist doll but the people that live in the house.
And it was called What a Dummy?
What a Dummy? Question mark.
I'm only asking because I see the name on the video. That was the title.
That was the title. What a Dummy.
What a Dummy. What a dumb title. Yeah.
What a dumb executive who greenlit it.
Yeah. It was about the writer.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a good show on now called Chucky.
Yeah.
Yes.
That enhanced premise.
They're more intentional. It's less creepy somehow if it's more... I don't know. Yeah. The way they do it is different.
More subversive, more aware.
More aware of itself.
Yeah.
That is just, they're trying to get away with that absurd premise of, and they were first to do something like that, I think. Groundbreaking in some ways.
There were other shows, too, in the 90s that had that dummy premise. There was one with Bobcat Goldthwait
doing the
voice of a dog. What was that called? That was on for a minute.
Kill My Life
Kill My Life.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, please. I forget.
Like something like Unhappily Ever.
Yes, that's what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was a Fox one where, you know, they had that built-in style of comedy where they did Married with Children and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. I think it was the same creators, actually.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul eventually graduated to movies, you know, granted, not great ones. As we were talking before, Meet the Deedles was his first major motion picture in which he was like had a starring role in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a big box office flop.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Did I even need to say that?
Well, he was two relatively unknowns also.
I didn't know it was a Disney movie.
Yeah, it was a Disney movie.
It was about surfers that pretended to be park rangers for some reason.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous idea.
And incidentally, Paul Walker said that he... In another life, he would have wanted to be a park ranger instead of an actor.
That's why he took it. Like, he reads the script and like, yeah, I love it. I'm really into the park ranger. Yeah, I see myself in this. But I don't know. I don't think Paul Walker really reads his script at this time. Maybe he does. I don't know. He's like a young kid. I don't know. I'd be like, how much are they paying?
Yeah, he probably has someone in his ear saying this is a good opportunity for you.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a smart agent. Yeah. He seems to have smart representatives around him that actually got him the career that he finally got.
Sometimes you really don't know.
Yeah.
This could have been a hit with the kids.
That's true.
It wasn't.
It could have been like Spy Kids or some, you know, phenomenon or something. Paul eventually went on to do some a little bit more mature movie roles. We'll call it that. He got Pleasantville. He was in that. Varsity Blues. She's Ooh. All That. The Skulls.
The Skulls.
Pleasantville, though, that really, it's like his huge debut, I would say. He wouldn't have gotten, I don't think, such prominent roles without
That's a good point. Because, Pleasantville is 98, and then Meet the Deedles also 98.
But right before it.
No, right before it. Yeah, so he booked that, and I don't know, he probably just had the look for Pleasantville, and they were like, he looks good in this black and white. Let's go with him.
Yeah.
He had that all-American look. But he also played to the benefit of whatever filmmakers he was working with after. He always played like the privileged douche in the later movies.
Yeah.
You know, like The Skulls and She's All That and Varsity Blues. He wasn't really a likable character.
No.
Ever.
And yet, if you think about his roles in all those movies, he's very memorable. Like in Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
Like that was a big thing when he got injured in the movie. He's the
hotshot quarterback.
Yeah. And he sets the scene for James fucking Vanderbeek to shine.
Yeah, that shithead. He's a Mark Paul Gosler of his time.
Exactly.
He sucked in that. He's just an all-around shitty dude.
He's very good in Angus as the villain, though.
And Rules of Attraction.
I thought that was a great movie that no one listening right now has probably ever seen and probably should.
Great soundtrack, too.
Also a great soundtrack.
Angus, great soundtrack as well.
Do we notice how we didn't want to talk about Angus?
Yeah.
Angus is so good.
Yeah. Kyle will sneak up on you with the weirdest movie that he's the biggest fan of.
Oh,
ever.
My God. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So, who's that sound about Angus?
Like you wouldn't cry watching it today, you fucking liar.
He all of a sudden snaps out of it. Who? Someone say Angus? But the role that would take Paul Walker and catapult him into international superstardom was his role as Brian O'Connor in The Fast and the Furious in 2001.
Brian O'Connor.
Mr. Brian O'Connor. Yeah, he was Brendan like Collins before or something. Yeah, like now he's
McClanahan.
Yeah, he's like Tony Danza. He can only play like two variations of a name, but he gets confused.
He was Jimmy McClover in his childhood.
You know, he's got like a whisper that goes, yeah, he's really good with like two variations of the same name. So the movie was directed by Rob Cohen, who was inspired in the 90s. He wanted to make a film after reading the 1998 Vibe magazine article called Racer X about street racing in New York City. After watching an actual illegal street race on the streets of Los Angeles, he tried to like find the perfect screenplay which matched his vision. Little die factoid here. He actually directed the Rat Pack movie, which I had said was my favorite portrayal.
With Leota.
Yeah. And Don Cheadle as Sammy Davis. And that's my favorite portrayal of the Rat Pack, I think, on screen.
Yeah, that was an HBO original movie.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
They did pretty good movies at that time. The Late Shift.
The Late Shift is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Bronx Tale, Late Shift. Yeah, they did some great shit.
Rob Cohen also, by the way, directed The Skulls.
Oh, did he?
Where he cast Paul Walker, and he was nervous that Paul Walker was too Californian to portray a kid on the East Coast.
Really?
And so they really worked on the accent.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, that snuck right past me. The Fast and Furious' his original title was Redline before it was changed to The Fast and the Furious because another movie was named The Fast and the Furious. It was an old Roger Corman movie from 1954, but they bought the licensing rights for The Fast and the Furious to use that name. Yeah.
That was a good purchase.
Yeah.
They got a lot of mileage out of that.
The original story was actually a mostly white and suburban story, but they set in New York, but they changed it to L.A. and they made a very diverse cast.
And that's the only one that Rob Cohen directed.
Wow.
He moved on, actually, him and Vin Diesel tried to start the Triple X franchise, but the second one did horribly. So they kind of just stuck with the, you know, everyone comes back home eventually, you know, to, you know, the cash cow that is the Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
I had a friend who worked on with him, like later on, like in his mummy years, and said he was kind of a douche.
Well, there's another update about him.
What's that?
He's canceled.
Oh, Rob Cohen. Yes, I do have that.
Okay, I'll let you handle that.
No, we can address it really quick. I don't care.
Ashia Argento said that he raped her on the set of Triple X.
He said, she said he drugged her with gamma hydroxybutyrate, some very long chemical that he gave her, and raped her during the filming of Triple X. A representative of Cohen denied Argento's assault accusation as absolutely false.
This is the same girl that possibly had sex with a minor who played her son in a movie years earlier.
Yeah.
And possibly caused the death of Anthony Bourdain.
Because he was so distraught by that.
Yes.
By the fact that his girlfriend at the time, very serious girlfriend, was having sex with some underage kid.
Statutory raping.
You know what? Yeah. This is an upcoming episode, so
let's keep it to the
end. I'm not going to say anymore.
Wow.
Okay, let's move on.
Well, tune in.
Well, really quick, I want to mention the other allegation, because on February 21st, 2019, Rob Cohen's daughter, Valkyrie is her first name. Okay, that's crazy.
Fan of the Bryan Singer flick with Tom Cruise?
Or I think it was an operation in which they try to kill Hitler.
Right, but Bryan Singer directed that movie.
Another creepy.
And it's also a vampire hunter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Valkyrie.
Speaking of Bryan Singer, Paul Walker turned down the role in Superman Returns.
Yes. Well,
okay,
we're all over the map now.
Silence.
Order in the court. So the daughter's name is Valkyrie Weather, which is weird. She accused her dad, Rob Cohen, of sexually assaulting her as a child, as well as sexually assaulting another woman. whoever that may be. Weather further claimed that Cohen had taken her to visit sex workers in Thailand in the Czech Republic when she was 12, supposedly in an attempt to turn her straight, because I guess she was a lesbian. Although Cohen categorically denied these claims in a later statement, Diane Mitzner, Cohen's former wife and Weather's mother, confirmed that she had witnessed at least one incident of sexual assault against Weather as a child. This is getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah, it's not good. Wow.
Another allegation of sexual assault was published by the HuffPost September 28th, 2019, almost a couple of years to the date after Paul Walker died. Cohen's lawyer, again, denied all that stuff. So yeah, Rob Cohen, I'm not saying he's a good guy by any stretch of the imagination.
But he did direct the first Fast and Furious.
He popped
movie,
it off, and I think
among other things.
Yeah, he directed some assaults too. Yeah.
Oh God!
Yeah, Jesus. Sick fuck.
Let's get back to Paul Walker.
Okay. So now it's okay to not branch off on other shit.
Why do you have to take us down that disgusting rabbit hole? Let's get back to.
Well,
you know,
I have a little factoid to get things back on track here.
Great.
Okay. Eminem was originally offered the role that Paul Walker got.
No shit. Wow. Yeah.
But he turned it down to do 8 Mile.
Good move.
Directed by Curtis Hanson.
Yes, that's correct. Who's dead? Another episode or maybe not.
Minisode.
Also, Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale were also considered for the fucking role.
That would have been terrible with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, him and Vin Diesel would not have got along at the end of the day.
Oh no!
I think that's the reason why him and the movies worked out so well, that dynamic, because Paul Walker's very, you know, chill and like, you know,
exactly,
go with the flow, and Vin Diesel I think is very pushy and forceful.
From all accounts, Paul Walker was easygoing, cool guy. So I could see Marky Mark not listening to Vin's ideas.
They'd be fighting every day. They're two guys that make themselves out to be tougher than they are on screen.
In life, too. Did you know that fucking guy gave himself the name Vin Diesel when he was a kid?
Before he was even acting? I heard he was a bouncer in New York bars, and he called himself Vin Diesel.
I heard it was so he could be tougher on the New York streets.
That could be true also.
He was a break dancer back in the day.
Was he?
Yeah.
And did you know that he never knew his father? So he's never said what his ethnicity is.
Yeah, he's very
ambiguous.
Ambiguous, that's what they call him.
And that he has a fraternal twin brother.
Oh, shit.
Named Chuck Diesel. No, it's Paul Vincent.
Chuck Unleaded.
Paul Vincent is the brother's name.
Paul Petrol.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to mention, to get it back on track again, Timothy Oliphant was also, the studio said if he's not going to be in the role, the Paul Walker role, they're not even going to greenlight it.
Wow. That's a weird person to fight for like that.
Yeah.
They really like Scream 2, I guess.
Yeah, no shit.
Or Gone. Or Go.
Go.
No, Go.
Or Stop.
Yeah.
There are actually rumors that Timothy Oliphant killed Paul Walker. He threw a stick in their spokes.
Okay.
Because we'll talk about that later. We have a conspiracy section. Go on.
Because an Oliphant never forgets.
What the fuck?
An elephant never forgets. You've never heard that?
Oh, yeah. This is Kyle's joke hour. So,
is this thing on?
Yeah.
He never forgets that he turned down a role and it was his choice.
Oh, he turned it down?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he had no vendetta. He said, no, thank you.
That executive that took a stand for Timothy Oliphant, what the fuck?
The balls on letting me pass on that role.
The movie doesn't get made. That's my final word.
Yeah.
Cut to the trailer with Paul Walker.
Yeah. Oliphant just didn't want to bait at all. If no one's going to make it, I'm not going to make it, no one's going to make it. Oliphant, however, had starred in the previous year's car-themed blockbuster Gone in 60 Seconds, so he's like, why am I going to do another car movie?
Yeah.
So he declined the role, and he's never forgotten it since. Oliphant, he's also part of the Vanderbilt family. Some people don't mention that.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, and I think he doesn't want people
all
to mention that.
All these fucking people.
I know, they're all juiced in.
Gloria Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
As in Anderson Cooper?
Yep.
So how is he related to Anderson Cooper?
I'm sure through some, I don't have the fucking family tree here, but through some far lineage, they're all part of the same.
And not to go down another dark rabbit hole, but Anderson Cooper's brother killed himself.
Yeah, that's true. You just wanted to bring that up.
No, what? No, no. You brought up the fucking Vanderbilts.
They're third cousins, Timothy Oliphant and Anderson Cooper.
Well, so they're not even related.
I heard Anderson
Cooper. So they could fuck it to be fine.
Anderson Cooper's brother actually jumped to
his death.
That's
the test.
He jumped to his death.
What are you saying, Mark?
I said Anderson Cooper's brother jumped to his death when he found out that Timothy Oliphant passed on this movie.
They wanted to take him to Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah.
He's like, no!
What's your last dying wish? Showbiz Pizza. I want to fuck one of those animatronic things. The role of Mia Toretta was originally supposed to be Eliza Dushku, Medford, Boston, native.
True Lies.
She turned down the role in Sarah Michelle Gellar, which she likes to be called. Jessica Biel, Kirsten Dunst, and Natalie Portman auditioned for the role. Imagine Natalie Portman auditioning for the Fast and the Furious. I would love to bring that up to her.
That's crazy.
I thought you were going to say they all turned the role down. I'm like, what is Jessica Biel doing turning down that role?
Natalie Portman auditioned.
That's fresh off the heels of like the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah, so maybe she was a little downgraded.
Yeah, to be fair, I think that did downgrade her.
Yeah,
because it wasn't well received.
Yeah,
no, it was trash.
Well, it was around the same time, so it might not even have come out yet.
99.
Okay,
Phantom Menace.
Gotcha.
The first movie went on to make $207.4 million.
$200 whole dollars?
Yeah. $207 million.
That's pretty good there.
Way above $2001
on a $38 million budget. So it was wildly profitable.
Wow.
So the studios are like, let's keep them coming, you pussies.
But with Timothy Oliphant, it could have made $1 billion.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're right.
That's what he tells people while he's wandering the streets of LA.
Why is Oliphant just wandering the
streets? He's pushing a cart like Marilyn Monroe was last week.
I could have been someone. I could have been a contender. So, yeah, like I was saying, Vin Diesel tried to start the XXX, and that didn't really have the same fanfare, if you will. So they all kind of came back.
Yeah, the XXX and the Chronicles of Riddick, they were just garbage.
Oh, I hated his other movie career. I hated his entire movie.
I got glasses on now.
So yeah, all the actors always come back to Fast and Furious for their payday. So you know you notice they're just collecting more and more people.
Paul Walker was not asked back though in the sequel.
Wow, you're including something I did not even know in my research here.
They didn't want him in the movie because they felt he was too old by this point.
What? Wow.
So he's not in it.
And Vin Diesel doesn't look young.
Yeah, no shit. And isn't Vin Diesel like 10 years his senior?
Are they trying to say ambiguous don't crack?
Yeah.
Wait. I was dead wrong. Hold on. I just checked my notes.
Yeah, we're checking our
Tokyo
sources.
Drift.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The third one.
Well, no, that's not the third one. That's a standalone movie that is not part of the actual chronological order of the Fast and Furious
movies. But it is the third one.
No, but it's a standalone.
Too Fast, Too Furious. He starred with Ludacris.
Yeah.
Song of the same name.
So he was...
By Ludacris.
He was not considered an old fuddy-duddy for Too Fast, Too Furious. It was the third one where he was considered like George Burns, too old.
Fair enough.
Too fast.
Nice George Burns comparison.
Too furious.
In 2013... The team was back filming the seventh installment of the Fast and Furious franchise when they left for Thanksgiving break in November of 2013. We were talking about before we started recording, like the movie has made over $1.5 billion. The entire franchise has grossed that amount. And the people that go to see it are, I think it's a mixture of ironic viewers and people that earnestly actually enjoy these characters and the family and the family, you know, and all
when
that
you hear
shit.
Your family.
Yeah. Unlimited breadsticks.
Yeah. Yeah, the Olive Garden mixing with the Fast and Furious, and people are just stupid and enjoy this kind of, you know, I like the car chases. In these movies, they are ridiculous.
The only one I've seen is the eighth one, The Fate of the Furious, in the theater. That's the only one I've seen.
Oh, really?
And that was my experience. There were people that earnestly laughed at all the cutesy jokes with Hobbs and Shaw, you know, The Rock.
I saw Hobbs and Shaw in the theater, too, and that was ridiculous.
Yeah. A lot of it cringy humor, by the way.
Yeah, totally. It's just dumb, and it's just not even fun. And you know, the fact that the last one that they went to space and stuff, and it's like, it's ridiculous. Ugh. You know,
like Jason X and Leprechaun 4.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right, though. They do the car chase as well.
They do, and they know that's their bread and butter, and that's where people are coming for the movies for the most part. Yeah. And you know, they love the camaraderie and the, you know, the brothership and all that, you know, shit.
The family.
So yeah, I think that's why people come back, and it made a ton of money throughout the years, as much to the point that Paul Walker didn't really have to work that much in other roles, and he didn't really do a lot of other shit.
No.
Like, why would you? And he's the type of guy, he's just a chill dude. He didn't care about, like, you know, winning an Oscar, winning a Cannes Film Festival or any of that shit. He just, like, you know, he wanted to go surfing and make his movies and work as little as possible and enjoy hanging out with his daughter.
Right. The daughter.
Yeah. She's coming up. Okay. Well, I'll say, while they were on that Thanksgiving break that I was talking about in November of 2013, Paul Walker was a passenger in his own 2005 Porsche Carrera GT, which was driven by a close friend named Roger Rodas. Paul Walker was killed in a fiery car accident.
Oof.
So how did this happen? What happened?
Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant. Where was he?
Through the wrench.
Hanging out with Andre Agassi.
So at this time, when Paul and his friend who was driving, they were in an industrial park around Santa Clarita, Valencia, California, which, if we're going back to die history here, there is a blip on that radar in which it's right around the corner where the Twilight Zone was.
Indian Dunes,
yeah. So there's a lot of shit that goes down there involving Hollywood and stuff.
Hollywood dying.
Yeah, yeah. People not living. Yeah,
if you're not living, your family.
Your family. If you're flatlined, your family. His buddy Roger lost control of the vehicle that was going at least 100 miles per hour before it smashed into a curb and then into a tree and burst into flames. The flames were at least 20 feet high, people were saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a big fucking explosion. The speed that they were driving has been disputed by lawyers for the Walker estate. But the sheriff's office and the official report says at least speeds up to 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
What I have here is that Roger backed the car into the garage that they had, probably that shared with all these, you know, he's like Jay Leno level garage of, like, not like a small garage, like part of a house. It was like a huge industrial garage with like a ton of cars and shit. But yeah, he backed the car into the garage. Paul jumped in and said, "Hey, let's go for a drive." And that's his last known words.
Fuck.
"Hey, let's go for a drive." His friend Paul, who I think ran like the garage there, said he seemed to be a very big Fast and Furious fan, because he said Paul lived his life and died fast and furious.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'd rather
cringe.
No one said anything about me than that.
Yeah. Don't bother. You lazy bastard. Yeah. You're just saying movie titles?
Yeah.
He definitely met those deedles.
Well, this guy... Well, this guy, Paul, I think was a very sentimental sap, because I guess he ran to where the accident happened. He wanted to, like, run to get Paul out of the... Like, it was on fire. He was like it was like, you know, Terminator 2, like the corpse, you know, after the atomic bomb hits, you know. It's just like
holding onto the fence.
There's nothing else there, you know. He's a skeleton, man.
Do we want to see the footage?
Crash? Please. Yeah, there's a lot of cameras around there. There was like a lot of like industrial park, just like security cameras.
This surveillance video shows the moment of impact. Watch it again in slow motion. The light pole on the right and tree go down after being hit by a Porsche. About a minute later, smoke begins to rise. Another camera captures the collision from a different angle. At the time, Walker was inside this Porsche Carrera GT. Investigators believe the car was speeding, but don't have any evidence the car was leaking liquid, and don't think another car was involved.
Or was there?
So now this is the amateur footage.
We don't, but we came from the same area. Is that, what car is that?
Ferrari, dude.
the way they're speculating.
He died. Go! Drive away so I'm blow up.
These guys are going to get themselves in an accident.
Beavis and Butthead here.
I know. Hey, man. You drive. I'm not the one driving.
So now they're just filming this car that's on fire, billowing smoke. Needless to say, they have no idea it's Paul Walker there.
And what is it? What business of it is theirs?
Yeah, they're getting out of the car. I like how they're afraid it's going to blow up. Yet now they're going to walk.
It just did.
Yeah. Oh, another thing exploded.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's possible.
Running.
Like,
yeah, they're running away now.
Yeah, and they left the car running.
Yes, there is someone in there.
Ugh. Oh, did you hear that?
There's someone in there.
Yeah.
That guy's driving a very Fast and Furious looking inspired car, too.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Paul was survived by his daughter, Meadow, who was just 15 at the time. On her 21st birthday, a couple years later in May, Meadow shared previously unseen footage of her father on her Instagram page. The clip showed Meadow surprising her dad on his birthday by bursting into his bedroom. Meadow, around this time, had just filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Porsche, claiming that the sports car he was riding in had multiple design flaws.
You made my dad drive fast.
Yeah, when you get off.
Seriously.
My dad's friend, Roger, yeah. However, yeah, Porsche said that the car was abused and altered after being placed into the stream of commerce in a manner that was not reasonably foreseeable to Porsche. So I think they're pretty much saying there that Roger or Paul or whoever in that garage there, they altered the car in a way that was not really the same as Porsche had like designed it to be. The Porsche legal department response went on to say that Walker was a knowledgeable and sophisticated user who knowingly exposed himself to the risks involved in using the vehicle. So they're pretty much saying they're like, look at the movies he's been in. This guy should know what he's doing, you know, how he's driving, how he's like kind of like reconfiguring this car after it came out of the dealership, basically.
But then you can make that argument about Alec Baldwin, who's playing a cowboy, but doesn't know how to use a gun, apparently. It's acting. Does he know actually about the car?
Yes. In fact, he became a race car driver after the first Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So he was very knowledgeable in that world.
Well, the Walker attorney in response said the bottom line is that Porsche Carrera GT is a dangerous car. It doesn't belong on the street. And we shouldn't be without Paul Walker or his friend Roger Rodas today. Mm. The lawsuit alleged that the vehicle lacks safety features that are found on well-designed racing cars or even Porsche's least expensive road cars. Features that could have prevented the accident or at a minimum allowed Paul Walker to survive the crash. Although it is unknown how much Porsche settled for, which they did settle with the daughter.
Oh, wow.
I don't know the exact amount, but Paul, even outside of that lawsuit, left her with $25 million in his will.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. His will was very well defined for someone that age, for someone only 40 years old.
He had just turned 40.
Yeah, he had in September. Yeah.
I have a quote from him.
What? What is it?
I think 40 is going to be good. I'm excited.
Jesus.
It was a very good
year. Laugh thing?
It was a very good year, except for the part where he was, you know, burned to death.
It was a very good year.
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, that's the only black spot, you know, spot on it.
Yeah. His dad also said in interviews that Paul was a very conscientious driver and really cared about driving safely when he was in race cars.
Well, I think this guy, Roger, was just handling the car. It got a little bit away from him. I think you got to be a stronger, bigger person. I think he was a smaller guy.
Got a lot of bit away from him.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, that telephone pole went down easy.
Cars like this, I used to work at a car dealership, and like I remember driving one time a BMW. It was like an M8. It was like a fucking, you know, 1,200 horsepower car or something. And like, they're not fun to drive. They're nerve-wracking to drive.
I'm good. I don't need that excitement.
They're not good for the road. They're just like dangerous, and that, you know, there's no reason why anyone should be driving that fast in them in like residential or even this whatever industrial park this was.
They're in Santa Clarita. Just go to Six Flags if you want a thrill.
Right down the road.
What, there's the big parking lot, you mean?
No, just Six Flags going on a roller coaster.
Oh, just going on a roller coaster.
Yeah, they have all of it. There's 26 roller coasters there.
So I did really want to talk about the custody of their daughter, Meadow. I thought this was, I didn't even know this part was what happened. There was a custody issue. A judge stated that Meadow was to live with her biological mother and nanny after a Los Angeles Family Court commissioner dismissed the guardianship case over the 15-year-old teen. So what happened was, I guess the mom had gotten word that the grandmother of Meadow,
Paul Walker's mom,
was supposed to get guardianship of Meadow. But it went to an appellate judge, and the judge was like, no, we're going to give it to the actual mom. Because he wasn't married to this woman. He had no connection. She lives in Hawaii.
It was around the Pleasantville Deedles time,
yeah,
right?
1998. That's when Meadow was conceived and born.
Yeah.
So he's probably just like struggling, to make money and stuff.
Because he had kind of given up on acting until this.
Yeah, because he was he was like a child actor, and then he wasn't sure because that move is very tough into becoming an adult star after being a child star.
Look at Glasser. Glasser.
Mark Paul Gosler, yeah. Well, you got Franklin Bash, so he got some stuff later.
Yeah. You have Jason Bateman, that's probably the most successful out of any child actor.
Yeah. DiCaprio.
Yeah,
from
true.
The Hogan family, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, exactly. And DiCaprio from
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains. Thank you very much. So, anyway, after this was all eventually all sorted out. The grandmother called the mom, who was Rebecca Soderos, that was her name, called her a drunk, basically.
So the mom was not doing well. That's what caused this.
Yeah, the mom, Rebecca, who was the baby mama, had a fight with grandmother, which was Cheryl Walker, who was Paul's mom. And they had like a court battle. And eventually it was smoothed out. And the drunk mom, as I call her, she moved to Los Angeles from Hawaii, and she took custody of Meadow.
Oh, she won.
She won.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you want to give the kid, even though Paul Walker had in his will, it wasn't really his legal right to actually say that in a will, that the daughter would go to the grandmother.
I thought by the time he died, he did have custody of her. He was at a very good place in his life.
No, because I think at that time, Rebecca wasn't fighting it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So therefore, because she had actually got a DUI in 2003 and 2013.
Same year.
So I think she knew even if she tried to fight him for custody at that time before he died, she would have lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was looking forward to spending time with his daughter more.
Yep.
And building this whole new life as he got older.
And spending time with some girlfriends, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Too,
We're not the most of age people. We're going to talk about it in a minute here.
Oh, boy.
But either way, that all got squared away, and we don't know how much Meadow got from the settlement from Porsche and all that stuff. But, God love her. And she got if I got $25 million as a 15-year-old or 18-year-old,
I'd be dead by 16.
I'd be dead right now.
Right.
So, aside from all those investigations, there was a separate, more official L.A. Sheriff's Office investigation regarding Paul's death.
We think they were speeding.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Well, that was one of the major bullet points. But yes, they were going somewhere between 80 and 93 miles per hour. But it could have been on the higher end of that. Who the hell knows?
That doesn't even sound like as fast as you would think.
And not as furious.
I mean, it's pretty furious, but
have you driving an industrial park? If you're going 80 in an industrial park, where those very windy roads and stuff, that you in a car that they're big, they're like fucking race cars. That's hard to handle.
Yeah.
Unless you know it the back of your hand and know the twists and turns and stuff.
That is mind-boggling if you think about it.
Yeah.
Paul Walker trusting the guy. I'm not even going to drive this. I'm going to get in and go for this ride with someone else in charge of my life.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the posted speed limit was 45 miles per hour. So obviously they were, more than doubling that.
They ran through that sign.
Yeah. That caught on fire too. They smelted the sign.
Yeah, that power pole is metal. Those do not go down easily, and that thing went down like a toothpick.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised if it was less than 93 miles an hour.
Well,
that thing went down like Tower 3.
Yeah.
Seven. By seven.
Yeah.
Well, it's the third tower.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
By Dick Cheney and George Bush did it. The Walker family suit, their lawsuit stated that they were going somewhere between 63 and 71 miles per hour, which is also very fast.
Bullshit.
The family's investigators also think... They also claimed that the car was going somewhere between 40 and 60 miles per hour. So they downgraded even later. So, you know.
Were they getting paid off by the estate so they could sue Porsche?
No, this is not the sheriff's department. This is the family, like, rebuttal to the sheriff's department report.
Gotcha.
So they're like, yeah, we know what you're saying, sheriff's department, but we have our own set of facts here.
I think we know a little bit.
Let me see here.
Do we want to hear a little bit about his last day from the documentary?
Yeah, sure. But
there was an official documentary on Paul Walker's life called I Am Paul Walker.
I think he got a text on his phone. And he looks at me and he goes, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be somewhere right now.
He told my mom, he said, oh, there's an event that I'm supposed to go to. This is Toy Drive.
When the Toy Drive was finished, I was driving the Carrera GT from where he was parked, trying to put it back into the garage. Roger comes out, joking around with me, saying that, hey, you know, you probably don't know how to drive a Carrera GT, right? And it's my car. Let me take it home. And that's when Paul was leaving and said he wants to take a ride with Roger first. And so we're there still cleaning up. Then next thing we know, we hear a lot of noise, a lot of bang.
Supposedly, the impact knocked him out. And then the car just became this inferno.
That's Tyrese Gibson talking.
They were good friends, apparently.
A co-star from the movies.
Yeah.
He's stuck in this car. He's unconscious on impact. And then he just burns alive.
Jeez.
And Cody is in there talking about...
The brother.
It was supposed to be just such an innocuous event. Yeah, just going to the quick toy drive, yeah, and coming back. He was talking to him on the phone beforehand.
Yeah.
And Cody was like, thank God that he wasn't busy at that moment and took the call.
Yeah. Mm.
And so he got one final conversation in with his brother.
Wow.
Well, this was that theory I was talking about at the top here. There was one early theory. Considering the nature of Paul Walker's movies, again, that there was this theory that he and Roger could have been racing another car.
Oh.
When this crash happened.
And where's that other car?
I don't know. No eyewitnesses contacted the LA County Sheriff's Department to say that there was a second vehicle, and there was no evidence to indicate that there was a second car involved in the collision.
Hmm.
But yeah, some people are saying that, you know, there was no other reason for them to be driving that fast other than, you know, they were actually racing someone who challenged him because he saw him in the movie and stuff.
We're on to you, Oliphant.
Oh, could have been Timothy Oliphant.
Wait a second. I don't...
Actually, I got a tie here.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Let's hear it.
He starred in the Netflix show with Drew Barrymore, The Santa Clarita Diet.
Ooh,
that is true.
Right around the corner.
So he might have been planning that show,
which is a murder
at this
show.
Time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he was in Santa Clarita with a vengeance.
So we placed him in the area.
Yes.
Fuck, man. That's crazy. Well, we're going to have to, that's going to be for a postmortem.
We're on to you, fucko.
Yeah, we want to talk to you, Mr. Oliphant. We don't care who your family is. So apparently per this LA Sheriff's Department report, the two men did not live long after the crash.
He died on impact, Roger.
Well, Walker suffered fractures of his left jawbone, collarbone, pelvis, ribs, and spine. I guess Rodas rapidly died of severe blunt head, neck, and chest trauma.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I guess, Paul, it took like a couple of minutes, but I think part of it, they said he died from like trauma and also from just the fire itself.
The flames.
Burned, yeah, the flames burning his flesh.
Because he was unconscious.
I think he was dead before, because you have it in here too that there wasn't a lot of soot in his throat.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he wasn't breathing when the smoke came first.
Yeah.
Unconscious.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wouldn't have been breathing.
No, if you're unconscious, you still breathe.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Unless you're dead.
No, but maybe
Dr.
not.
Dr. Emeritus Alejandro.
No. I meant like not as much, though, as if he was, you know,
sure.
conscious.
Yeah. Either way, I'm sure they were not not awake.
If you're unconscious, you're dead.
Yeah.
PhD. Some people wonder, okay, who the fuck is this Roger Rodas guy? Paul's good friend, I guess, whom they started a charity that helped first responders in third world countries. And I think this was like a fundraiser for that charity that they were going to at the tail end after Paul forgot about the entire thing.
He was very passionate about it.
They met at a California race club, and I guess he was driving a Porsche that Walker had previously owned.
You have my car.
Yeah, you got my car. Soon they were racing side by side. So it's kind of like Dominic and it's kind of like the movie a little bit.
Dominic being
the Vin Diesel character. So they kind of met up and just like two guys that love racing and stuff. And, you know, they became buds. Married with two kids. 38-year-old El Salvadoran native who was known as a loving family man. And he worked as a financial planner for Bank of America. So,
and he was a philanthropist.
Also a philanthropist, yeah. And I think he did a lot of stuff through this foundation that him and Paul found. So after all was said and done, the Fast and Furious 7, the show must go on. It was completed using scenes already filmed by Paul Walker and scenes shot using his brother,
Cody
and
Caleb
as body doubles. Yeah, so
wow.
So they got the whole Walker family in there.
And that family has the good looking genes. His brothers look exactly like Paul Walker.
God damn.
Kyle, could you play the Fast and Furious tribute to Mr. Paul Walker? This is the weirdest thing ever.
So this is the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's Paul's character playing with his family, as they call it.
Duty calls.
It does.
Mi familia.
On the beach.
There we go.
Because the sun is out.
This is creepy.
But I can get, like, well done. It's, like, really dark.
What you nudging me for?
Close your mouth for 2 seconds. Just open your eyes.
The writing in these movies is so strong.
Ludacris says, open your eyes. And it's to Paul Walker just playing with his family.
Home.
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 Family. Worries always belong.
When you're here,
Jesus.
Your family.
What a fucking loser.
Gonna be different now.
Who wants some breadsticks?
Everything's going to be different now.
The thing is, though, they didn't kill his character off.
No.
His character retires. So they decided, we're not killing him. That's why they went to all that trouble with the brothers, to keep the character alive.
Wow.
Just in case Paul came back from the dead?
Yeah, in the unlikely event.
Yeah, this is a very odd scene.
Yeah, it's
and if you
stupid.
Fast forward a bit, though, you'll see the CGI.
That's why we were brothers. Because you did too.
That's why we were brothers.
So now there's a montage of Paul Walker from all the movies.
This is like how they killed off David Strickland and Suddenly Susan.
No matter where you are, whether it's a quarter mile away
or more than a quarter mile away.
He's about to say the word family again.
Of course he is. Change,
the most important thing in life will always be the people in this room, right here, right now. Salute me, familia.
They drink Coronas.
And here's the CGI Paul Walker coming up. Vin Diesel looks over to the car next to him.
You'll always be with me.
And it's CGI Paul Walker.
Wow.
And you'll always be my brother.
And he looks like a ghoul.
Yeah, that was very creepy looking.
And then his car takes a different pathway. And so that's supposed to be his character retiring.
No, I thought it meant... But it was supposed to allude.
It's on his way to Santa Clarita.
It sounds ludicrous, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But they kept the character alive. They even mentioned him in the next sequel.
Yeah.
Well, they want to keep making these movies until they all die. So.
Yeah. So maybe they'll bring back CGI Paul Walker.
That's going to be absurd. Well, they're waiting for the technology to catch up, maybe. Well,
I can see if you're a fan of this movie, though, or the franchise, that would be a very emotional final scene. as cheesy as we think it is.
Kyle's eyes are a little glistening right now. Man,
yeah. I can't take it, man.
And he's erect.
That was about as emotional as that Soprano scene with the mom.
I know, the same way, but like done a little bit better. The CGI was a little bit better, but like it's still weird. At least they just did whatever they could to get out of it.
I just find it weird. Excuse me. To like even Harold Ramis in the new Ghostbusters. It's like
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they brought him back from the dead.
Yeah, gosh, unwillingly.
As a ghost, yeah. Literally a ghost in the movie, yeah.
That's so sad and weird and unnecessary.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So they kept going on with the movies. You know, say what you will, they kept making money and they're doing their supposedly their final one. They're working on it now. They try to get The Rock. The Rock said no.
He said Vin Diesel's a bitch.
Yeah, I like
that. That's true.
Vin Diesel posted that picture when it looked like he was like manhandling The Rock.
Yeah.
But he made himself look bigger in the picture on Instagram and everyone called it out. And then The Rock is like, yeah, I'm not doing this movie. And then the director, I guess, recently bowed out saying that he didn't want to deal with Vin Diesel anymore.
Creative differences is what he said.
Hey, Vin Diesel sucks.
Yeah. And then they are keeping him on as a producer so he gets his money for the last movie. But
smart.
Yeah.
I'm creative. Vin Diesel is not.
Yeah. Yeah. He's nothing.
You know who else had a meltdown was Tyrese Gibson.
Oh, my God.
A couple years ago, he went on one of the most epic rants.
Unhinged.
Unhinged, like you've never seen
about what?
In Hollywood about before. What?
Congratulations.
He was pissed that The Rock signed on, I think, to do the separate Hobbs and Shaw's movie.
This is just.
Oh, he posted a video.
Yeah, he posted. He's just crying.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
Now you see how good my congratulations
yeah,
was.
Exactly. That was perfect. Dead on. And then he starts rambling about his own custody battle with his daughter. And he's really mad at The Rock for doing this Hobbs and Shaw
movie. For The Rock
movie.
For just saying yes to do something.
And he's clearly on drugs or drunk or
clearly.
Something.
Yeah. And he's accusing The Rock of taking food out of his daughter's mouth by taking that movie role. It's really Rock-centered.
Well, the problem is The Rock should... I think he found out eventually, like, these people are all nuts. I don't want to deal with these people. I don't need this. I am the star. What does he need Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris for?
Well, nothing. Don't bring Ludacris didn't do anything.
I just did.
Shockingly or not shockingly, Tyrese Gibson was brought back for the latest one. You would think that would be career ending.
He probably apologized to The Rock. That guy fucking towers over you.
Oh, right? He's a monster.
In person? Yeah, say that to his face, Tyrese.
Yeah, I don't think he gives a shit about that.
And speaking of F9, the titles are getting more absurd.
It's actually about the computer key, F9.
Yeah, exactly.
Print.
The next one is just going to be called the letter F.
Control-Alt-Delete.
Or cargo vroom. And incidentally enough, both of those titles, 10 letters.
Hello.
And the next installment will be the 10th one.
Oh, wow.
So if they copy me.
Cargo vroom.
You heard it here first. And the letter F. That's 10 letters.
You should register that with the WGA.
Yeah.
You know, they have to buy it from you.
Maybe I
will. Like they had to buy it from Roger Corman before.
Right.
Yeah.
Alejandro, resident doctor and cryptologist, apparently.
Yeah.
And I confuse people that are unconscious with being dead.
Yes.
Yeah. And you thought Timothy Oliphant was the aggrieved person. And
I did.
Oh, you
that
did.
Was
oh,
me.
You did. Okay.
Do not accuse me of that one.
And Oliphant never forgets.
Which was Kyle just tried to work.
I was getting
the
there.
Reality around his joke, but it didn't really work like that.
And did you guys see that movie about Timothy's life called Water for Oliphants?
Nice.
I have a little more material before we just way off the rails here.
Before we go off
the rails? Well, speaking of unhinged, there's a very unhinged fan base that Paul Walker had created out there. There is a YouTube account dedicated to the idea that Paul Walker was not really killed, that he's still alive.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right.
There's always those.
Yeah, there's not really much to go on that, but there's like Reddit accounts and like threads and stuff talking about Paul Walker. He really survived the crash, or he wasn't even there, and he's just still alive laughing at us.
Oh, we got a video. Paul Walker caught on camera?
Yeah.
Really?
It's basically just shots of Paul Walker, which they're not, you know, timestamped, so they could have been any time.
Or it could be Caleb or Cody.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck these...
His brothers look exactly like him.
Oh, it's just all text with this...
Yeah, it's all text.
Melodramatic music.
Yeah, they're like, he's back.
Yes, he's back.
Yeah,
this is like... just pictures of him.
No, but also this account has like 100,000... Yeah, this has like...
1.2 million views.
Yeah.
What are the comments saying?
Yeah, let's see what the comments say. 2020 and I still miss him.
Yeah, it's all just like fans.
They need to respect that he's gone, and yes, he lives in our hearts and soul.
Someone's speaking some sense.
Yeah. Actually, it's all people kind of speaking sense.
Maybe the person who created this was just doing a bit or something.
Yeah.
Well, some people sure did. These wild, like, L.A. guys out there, they're like surfer bros, kind of. They were proposing a national holiday for Paul Walker. If you click on that Instagram link there, these are these guys proposing this at like a city hall.
I'm deeply honored to speak to the esteemed council.
Oh, this is a comedic duo.
I'm doing ads. It's like they're real.
The Statue for Paul initiative. We are deeply honored by the 1 foot statue, but it's obviously too small to create a global impact. So you mentioned that it's hard to break ground on the pier. And on that point, we're willing to agree. That is why we think we should take advantage of the San Clemente Cliffs.
They're laughing in there.
It's Paul Walker's face like a Mount Rushmore.
It has Mount Rushmore. We could have Mount Paul Walker.
I remember those
Sir
guys.
Sir JT Parr and Chad Kroger, I think he calls himself. They had that big thing. But yeah, so there are some unhinged, crazy fans out there of Paul Walker. And
that dude looked like he dressed himself.
Who, JT?
As Soul Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks exactly
JT
like Soul
Parr,
Man.
Yeah.
As a, what's his, what's
shout out
his
to
name?
JT Parr.
And Soul Man, the actor.
C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah, C. Thomas Howell.
Wow, he looks way different now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's white.
There was a big memorial at the site of Paul Walker's death. At some point, Vin Diesel went to the site himself.
Oh, we have that clip.
Yeah, he got on a loudspeaker on top of a cop car.
Overnight, friend and co-star Vin Diesel broke his silence during a visit to the crash site. He thanked fans for their support over a loudspeaker.
I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming down here and showing that angel up in heaven how much you appreciate it.
Yeah! Diesel also posted a message to his Facebook page Monday and quoted a poem in remembrance of Walker, referring to the actor by his character's name in Fast and Furious, which was Brian O'Connor.
Disrespectful.
On his Facebook
page. What?
To live in the hearts we leave behind is not to die. I will always love you, Brian, as the brother you were on and off screen.
His name was Paul. Yeah. Are you Ryan.
Fucking tears, kidding?
Vin Diesel, I think, lives in a world in which Fast and Furious is real.
Oh my God.
I think he lives in that world.
He did name his daughter, who was born after he died, Paul's death, Paulie.
Well, it was leaked at some point that after Paul died, that Paul's daughter was going to be adopted by Vin Diesel.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if Vin Diesel's people
did
that.
He probably did that.
I bet you he did.
I think he was using the death to promote himself and the next Fast and Furious movie.
I bet you he was.
Because in an interview, there's this interview where he's like, Paul was in the hospital room with us when my daughter was born. I looked over in the corner and I saw Paul standing there.
What a fucking creep, dude.
I saw Brian standing there.
Yeah. I thought
Timothy loser.
Oliphant's contract for this movie.
And this guy is a billionaire from the Fast and Furious movies.
I think he's just a sociopath. You know, a lot of them are, but I think he's a bigger version of that. A worse one, if it's possible.
You gotta be some kind of sociopath if you changed your name to Vin Diesel when you were a kid.
Yeah, you're not living in your old past at all. You just made up, you're like Don Draper. You just made up your entire personality,
exactly.
Everything about you. In December 2013, the city council of Pelahue, Chile, as you pronounce it,
Chile,
decided to name the main street of a new neighborhood in the town after Paul Walker, called Paul Walker Street, as a gratitude gesture for the help he gave to the victims of the earthquake in Chile in 2010 in the, that very same town.
Very nice. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
So, Alejandro, your relatives are down there. Yep,
is there too on Paul Walker Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a big earthquake in Chile shortly after the Haitian earthquake in 2010.
Yeah.
And Paul Walker was there for both of them with his relief organization.
Yeah, and that's the one him and Roger, I believe, started. So it all comes full circle, as they say.
Yes.
Yeah. Does anyone have anything else? I don't know.
Final thoughts.
I don't know about the theory that, you know, they were racing another car, because they did have security footage of the crash, and you don't really see anything else other than that car destroying everything in its path.
If you say so.
I agree with Kyle. I don't think they were racing anybody.
I think his buddy was just driving like a dick and couldn't handle it.
They were racing the wind.
Yeah.
Aren't we all at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Racing the wind.
As they say.
As they say.
A couple other tidbits from that documentary. Paul was always kind of a tough guy.
Yep.
And very intense. When he was acting, he didn't like to act like he was in pain. He actually preferred to be in pain. So he's like, really hit me. And he was kind of a hothead. One time he opened the door for some dude at a grocery store who was holding a bunch of cans. And then the guy said, thanks, bitch.
Ah!
And Paul was like, let's go.
Really?
Yeah. And got in a fight. Yeah.
Wow.
He's the son of a boxer.
That's true. He's got that.
And the
that
grandson Irish of a boxer.
Blood. I got that Irish blood in me.
There
that's
it is.
Box.
Gonna get me Irish up.
Oh, let's fucking fight now. You what you say to my son?
Come say that again to me face.
Come say that to me face. And then roust grocery store.
And Tokyo Drift, the one where classic. They thought that Paul was too old to partake in.
Yeah.
That had really poor test screenings. So then Universal Pictures asked Vin Diesel to make a cameo at the end to help boost box office potential.
Mm.
And he agreed to do it only if Universal would relinquish the rights to Riddick. And so that's why he made the new Riddick in 2013.
I like how he doesn't make a big deal to get his friend in the movie, his alleged friend. But he
his
calls
brother.
He calls a fictional character and all the time. What a fucking scumbag.
And on that note, Paul Walker actually insisted that Tyrese return to the franchise after Fast and Furious
so
4 was
back
a hit.
And, so
yeah, they were
so
good friends.
So he wanted to put food in Tyrese's mouth.
Exactly.
Or his kid's mouth.
That's why Tyrese was cool that with baby, Paul Walker.
That baby boy, yeah, he's like, I like that guy.
No, but also that shows the difference between him and Vin Diesel.
What the fuck? That's a nervous break. That's amazing.
Click on that link, Tyrese Gibson's reaction to Paul Walker's death.
Congratulations!
Oh, that.
So he just says that about everything. All right.
This guy's a broken record.
Yeah. All right, Tyrese Gibson on 9/11.
Congratulations!
Could you do Tyrese Gibson after the Oklahoma City bombing?
Congratulations.
Okay, see this guy. Could you do Tyrese Gibson after that Myanmar plane went missing?
Congratulations! Oh, my God.
Someone uploaded this, and it just said, the caption just says, Tyrese crying at your wedding.
That's exactly. Hilarious.
Yeah, does anyone else here have a reason why these two should not be wed?
Fuck, I already closed it up.
Congratulations!
That'd be tough on the person doing the ceremony. Like, does that mean no or yes?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the story of the late, great Paul Walker. Rest in peace. Shout out to Chad Kroeger and JT Parr. Big fans. Shout out to Tyrese Gibson.
Recommended the episode?
No, they did not, actually.
Okay.
A couple people have, so that's why it was kind of in the back of my mind.
Well, thank you, whoever you are.
Yeah, whoever you may be. I don't know. I don't know exactly who called for it, but, you know, it's,
there was a number of people.
It's yeah, a number of people, and shout out to you. Keep it up, actually. Keep emailing us. Email us at deathandentertainment@gmail.com. We're always responsive. And yes, if you have like a suggestion or a tip or, you know, something you want to hear about, let us know by all means. And also our Instagram account at Death and Entertainment on Instagram.
Yes. And if you can go to Spotify and iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, Spotify, you don't need to leave a review. Actually, you can't leave a review, but on iTunes, you can most definitely leave a review if you would like. We need to get those reviews up.
Yeah, get those 5-star reviews up there, baby. Yeah.
So if you're listening right now, and you enjoyed, you know, the Tyrese bit, the Paul Walker rumors, whatever we talked about.
The potential for another driver.
Please hit that 5 stars.
Please.
And subscribe on YouTube. We're 10 whole subscribers away from being able to monetize our channel on YouTube.
We better have 1,000 by the time this airs. This is not a threat, but it's not a threat.
Yeah.
And you know what, fans? Your family.
Your family here.
When you're listening to the Dipod, your family.
Your family.
Family.
If you're not listening, you're dying.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Bye now.
You have just heard
a true Hollywood murder mystery.
I have never seen anything like this before.
The movies, Broadway, music, television, all of it.
A place that manufactures
nightmares.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Good night. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon.